top of the morning to you all, but why listen to my mood morning when we've got Mendel's famous straight out of Texas?
Vulgar R!
There we go. And so today's daf is daf nun hey, and we're holding right at the two dots, which is, what, third of the way down, a little bit more. Tana Rabbana, back to a little bit of Erevin. Ketzad me'abrim et ha'arim. Now, we had in our Mishnah a brief discussion of the idea of spreading a city so that it's equalized to the corners of the earth. The Braita adds quite a bit of new information. At the onset, it doesn't appear to make very much sense, but the Gemara is going to take each one of these cases and is going to explain it. Arucha kamochehi. If you have a city that is long, you know, it's rectangular, so then it's the way it is. You know, it doesn't seem to be telling us very much. Agula, if it's a city that is round, osin la zaviyot, you make corners for it. Well, we already saw that every city is given a northeast, southwest block for its original tomb of the city. And then from there, we count the additional 2,000 amot. Aruka, sorry, agula osin la zaviyot. Merubaat, if it's squared, eno osin la zaviyot. I should hope not. Anybody ever try to square a square? Haita rechava, of course, they might be going to hyperspace. Haita rechava mitzad echad, uktzara mitzad acher. If the city is wider on one side than it is on the other, so then ro'ino taki ilohi shava. We, of course, as we already saw the idea, we extend it so that it becomes now the same on all four sides, so that each side is straight along the matrix longitudinal latitudinal matrix. Now, if we have bayit echad yotzei kemin pagum, and this, of course, we already saw in our Mishnah, o shnei batim yotzim kemin shnei pegugim, which, I mean, obviously, if one is enough, two should be enough, but all this we're going to see in the Gemara, then ro'ino tan kiluchut matuach aliyem. It's if we draw a direct line from one to the next, umodid mimenu ulahalan, and we count only from that line, the alpayim hama. Haita asuya kemin keshet. Now, suppose you had a city that was shaped in a bow shape. So now the question is whether we fill it in or not. Kemin gam, or maybe it was gamma shaped, so that you have a large area that extends northeast, a large area that extends north-south, and a large area that extends east-west, you nonetheless, you fill in both of these cities. Doesn't matter that the inner area does not have any homes, or that the extension of the gam doesn't have any homes, because we make it into a square. Now, let's take this piece by piece. Omar mar, aruka kamochehi. If a city is long, then it's long. Yes, Chita. No, what we mean is, lotzricha daricha uktina. It's very long, but in its width, it's not as wide. Now, I might have understood the nature of this merubat is to actually square the city. In other words, give it as much area for its width, whatever that is, east, east, west, or as its length in north, south. Kamash malan. That no, rectangular is fine, but what we don't have is a circle we make into a square. If it's rectangular, we leave it the way it is. There's nothing to square. Okay, that makes sense. So now the next thing you said was we don't make a square city, we don't give it corners. How could we give a square city corners? Ah, this is actually a tremendous chidush. It's talking about over here that we have a diamond city in terms of the latitudinal longitudinal matrix. And it's tremendous chidush, because what it's saying is that only once we determine to extend the boundaries, do we extend them north, east, southwest? But if you have a perfectly square city, we don't care if it's actually a diamond in terms of north, east, southwest. There's no reason for us to extend it, to give it a square, to make it the way a circle would have been squared. So a diamond remains a diamond. So kamash malan, that we don't give it a ribua ha'olam. I don't get that. If a bayit echad amrit, you already said, we saw this in our Mishnah, you could have a house that's going out, and fine, so now you extend along that entire direction, even without another house. So of course you can, if you got a house on one end, a house on the other end, of course we're going to extend the entire city in that direction. So shnei batim yiboy? No. The case of two houses is in two different directions. The chiddush over here is that the city can be extended on all sides. I might have thought, okay, we'll extend the city in one direction. We certainly can't take every little place that's jutting out in every direction. Then, no, we actually make it a straight line, even for a little home that's sticking out in every way. If we have a city, this is the next piece in the bracha, if we have a city that is made in the shape of a bow or of a gamma, ro'inota ki'ilu hi mleya batim v'chatzirot, umodeid mimena ulahalan Yerushalayim 2000 Amma. We didn't really explain how far the Keshet could be spread at the edge. In other words, in its furthest, let's draw the line, which we'll call the Yeter, if this is really a bow and we're shooting arrows. The line we'll call the Yeter. How long is the Yeter, and how far away is the Yeter from the top of the Keshet? I mean, these are two issues that we need to discover. I mean, what are we going to take? A city that may have 1,000 miles between one end and the other end, and another 1,000 miles between the midpoint of the empty space to the top of where we're going to call that all one city? Is there any limit to this? Does the Tchum Shabbat figure in how far the sides are? Do I need to be able to travel from one side of the city to the other side on Shabbat through the Yeter? These are things that we didn't think about. As Tosis points out, by the way, very interesting point, is that actually a city made like a Keshet is no different than a city that had Pigumim that was coming out and had we extended. Let's say you had Pigumim coming out from either side. We didn't talk about how far the Pigumim extend. Or you have Pigumim that are extending in one side. So then you end up with a city like a Gama. In other words, what happens over here, let's say I have a city that extends 5 miles from east to west. And now beyond the city line, I have towards the south, I have a house that extends outward on the east side, and I have a house that extends outward on the west side. Now I've got another house that extends within 70 amot of that, on either side. And I have to continue in the canyon. I have continuous houses going on as housing developments. I end up, essentially, with an area that's a Keshet. I mean, why didn't we just talk about that right then and there? Why did we wait until we get to the Keshet issue before we start discussing how wide it could be, this Keshet? It's the same thing. So, I mean, although Tosis entertains the notion that it may not be the same thing, and that an extension of the city that is being made because of Pigumim may actually have different dinim because of the fact that it's not initially part of the city in terms of its extension, and that an ear that's made like a Keshet, the actual body of the city is shaped like a Keshet, and therefore maybe we would exclude the middle part. Let's say you had a wall around the city. And it's clearly different than extending an existing housing development in one direction or another. In the end, the Re rejects this. It says that Einaf Nami. There's no difference between the cases of Pigumim and an ear that's Asuya. Keshet. So why then does Ravuna start talking about the Keshet and not before? Because it turned out that the Pigumim were not in the same side. We ended up saying the Pigumim are on two different sides. And therefore, we don't have a case of a similarity to an Yerushalayim that's similar to a Keshet with the case of Pigumim. Whereas if Ravuna would have started talking about the Pigumim, it would have misled us into thinking that the Braita meant Pigumim on both sides of the city, which is a Keshet. And then we would have been surprised because we would have said, so, I mean, why did we need the case of Shnei Pigumim? So it's basically a question, according to Tosafot, just of logistics, where Ravuna is going to say this. But we have to consider the issue when it comes to extending a city with the Shivim Amot Vishiraim just as much as it does with a city that's originally shaped like a Keshet. Am I making sense to anybody?
Yes. Yeah.
Same thing, isn't it? In principle? So he starts, as I said, suggests that there may be a difference between a city that's originally shaped as a bow and a city that has just a housing development and there's extensions and extensions. I understand the whole city is creeping. So the city is creeping, then we draw the line, however far it creeps. Mashenkin, if you have a city that's built permanently in one particular way, then the shaila is whether we just leave it the way it is, since it's very far, the two ends are very far, they're beyond Chumash Shabbat of each other. But as I say, the Re rejects this, the Rabbeinu Tam rejects it, and instead just gives a logistical answer.
You could walk within the city.
The Gemara is going to point that out. Excellent point. Exactly. That makes a big difference. Okay, so now we consider what the din is of the limits on size of the Keshet, the interrelationships of the various parts of the Keshet and the Yeter. So Omer Ravuna, 5 lines from the bottom. Omer Ravuna, Ir ha'asuya keshet. If a city is made like a bow, im yesh ben shnei rosheha, pachot mi'arba'at alafim amah, modedin lamin ha'yeter. So if you have now less than 4,000 amot, so in other words, each one of the city's edges at the bottom of the bow, it has its tum shabbat of 2,000 amot, and anybody who left could now walk. If he was walking to the other one, since you have havla'at tumim, by definition, less than 4,000, the two tumim hit each other. It's like our case of the Ma'arab before, the subway station. So it's exactly the same situation. Basically, you have 2,000 amot. In this case, however, the subway is twisted on its side, so that the top of the subway now is the northern part of the city, and the place where the Ma'arai is above ground, and it's the southern side of the city. It's the same concept. So you have the mixed tchumim, and therefore, as long as the tchumim intersect each other, which is havla'ah, so you don't have a problem. However, if it's more than that, then you have to start from the actual bow itself, because the bottom part of the city, the two sides of the city, are unrelated to each other, since they don't have any Shabbat relationships. So, now, wait a minute, that's inconsistent with Ravuna's opinion in another case. Umi Amar Ravunachi, did Ravuna indeed say that we give the measurements as per the tchumei Shabbat? The Amar Ravuna, chomat ha'ir, shenifritza. Suppose we had a bulldozer that went straight through a city, a walled city, and made from one end to the other, a swath of destruction that now has divided basically the city into two parts. What determines whether the city is all one city still, or whether it has to be given two separate tchumim? Says Rav Huna, the shiur is double the normal size of extensions of cities. And remember that extensions of cities are based on one side of a square that gives us 5,000 square amot. Again, because we learned it out from the Mishkan, which was 50 by 100. 50 by 100 is 5,000. But the thing is that the Torah sent us in Yechezkel to make that into a square. So if you want to make 5,000 into a square, then the square root of 5,000 is 70 plus. 70 gives you 4,900, and a little bit more. So the Shivim Amot V'Shirayim. But over here, we're giving Shivim Amot V'Shirayim to both ends. So in other words, so let's consider these two separate cities, now that we have this destructive swath in the middle. So if each one of those cities would have its own extension, and they would meet each other, so it's still one city. That's a little bit of a chiddush, because until now we spoke about 70 Amot, not 140 Amot, because it's two sides. So Rav Huna is telling us a chiddush. But certainly, the measurement is not 4,000 Amot. It's 140 Amot, a different order of magnitude. Why over here, in order to establish that the Keshet is interrelated at the bottom, why is he willing to go all the way to 4,000 Amot? And we know the answer because Abba told it to us. Amar Rabba Barula Lo Kasha. The cases are not similar at all. Because over here, Kan Baruch Achat, Kan Mishte Ruchot. Over here, the city of the Keshet is still connected on top. You can go wherever you want by getting to the Keshet. We're going to see this even a more powerful Sfora later on, Lahalacha. But this city is still one city. The fact that two edges of the city are distinct doesn't mean that we should measure in terms of a karfa. We're going to measure in terms of Tchum Shabbat and Havla'at Tchum. But in that case, we literally, physically tore the city into two. Now, in order to establish whether they remain one Lahalacha, there we take a look at a karfa along each side for each city. And if they're there, those two karfefot meet, then we're okay. So wait a second. So what's the chiddush? I don't get it. What is Rav Huna adding by saying that if you have between the two cities two karfefot, so that was 140 amot plus, that's okay. So my kamashon, the notnim karfafozu, the karfafozu, what's this big chiddush? That instead of there being one karfaf between, which would be normal for extending a city, that each half of the city gets a karfaf. Amar Rav Huna chadazim, now Rav Huna already told us that. There is no need to repeat it. Titznan, notnin karfaf le'ir. When you're measuring now the tchum of a city, as we're going to be getting to in the Mishnah coming up, you're measuring the tchum of the city, you can measure any houses that are within a shivim amot karfaf, says Rabbi Meir. And chachamim omrim lo amru karfaf ela ben shtei ayarot. The shear that we talk about, karfaf, is only when we're trying to determine whether two separate cities are actually one city, halachically speaking. And there, Rav Huna explained, v'yitmar Rav Huna omar, when the chachamim said that, they meant not to measure a city within 70 amot of the other city, but rather 70 amot given to each city. Karfaf lezo, the karfaf lezo. Zone. Whereas Chiya Barav said, no, it means exactly what it says. Since karfaf is the measurement of chibur, we only give one karfaf between them. So they'd have to be within 70 amot of each other, not 140. But in any event, did we see Rav Huna? We already know Rav Huna's chiddush. Why do you have to repeat it over here? That the distance between the bulldozer city, we have a nice picture of a bulldozer city right here, just to keep you all awake. There it is. And boy, I mean, that's perfect bulldozing. I mean, if you had an Arab terrorist saying it, any one of those, they're gone. What? No. It completely cleared away the rubble. It was perfect. So, in that case, we already know from the other Mishnah. The answer is the Gemara Tzricha. I need both Chidushim of Avuna. Our case meaning the bulldozer city, and the case in which you have the two separate cities. Because the Ashman and Hav, let's first just hear the difference. If you would have told me this case, I would have said, look, a city that was originally one, and then was bulldozed, to get an open area in the middle, in that case, originally it was one city, it was certainly going to be maker to say that as long as the areas are interrelated, even if it's through extending each one to 70, it means the city has to be completely torn into two. But if you have two separate cities, I mean, a city has an extension of 70 or more. They don't meet the two cities unless they're within 70 or more of each other. I mean, I would still see that. I would have thought that maybe Rav Huna would have said that. And therefore, Abel Hatam, where there were two separate cities, Emalo, V'yashmin and Hatam, on the other hand, if you have two separate cities, then interestingly enough, each city has gotten used to the idea of extending its usage into that area, right? Because they've always done so. And therefore, if they are extending now to the point where they're getting close to each other, What are we going to say? That one karfaf between them should be okay? Why would one karfaf between them be okay? For the past 100 years, they've been growing, but they've always been using a normal karfaf on either side. So therefore, when the two karfafot meet, we now have a meeting in the metropolitan area of the two cities. But in this case, there never was a karfaf. There were houses here. Nobody was used to using this as storage, as extensions. People were living here. Suddenly, a bulldozer comes, tears everything down. Why would I think that the two halves, so to speak, of a single city would each get a separate karfaf? This was never a karfaf area. So now we're just thinking in terms of, okay, what is considered to be one and the same place if they have a single karfaf in there? So I might have thought that in that case, Ravuna would have been willing to say, shivim amot, not me'av arba'im. So I need both cases to tell me that in either event, a chibur between two cities or between two half of a city is considered to be a chibur as long as two karfafot would meet of 140 amot b'nei'em. Yes, Abba.
Case where the two cities are separate.
If you go from one city to another, you still can go from the whole body of that city. Is that correct? No, not necessarily.
There's one
of the whole set that. If you're in that tchum and then you have avla'at tchumim before Shabbat, that could be. Right? Once a city is included in your 2,000 amot, then it flips to become 4 amot, and now you continue to walk the rest of your 2,000 amot. But if it's not included in your tchum, then it's just counted. Yeah, that's what we had before, even if it ends in the middle of the Maharam. You only get to where you're going. Same like the crazy cases where the guy could get it into his living room, but he couldn't make it to the bathroom.
So when he's bulldozing here, we get the whole city.
Yeah. Or even if it's two cities, and there's only the karfa, then we get the whole two cities.
Baruch Atah,
I didn't know you. I didn't know
that.
Hey.
Is there a possibility of that?
Only before Shabbat. The only time we have such a concept is when you were taken out, you were given the right to go out because of a tzorach mitzvah and so on, like Eidos HaChodesh, or for Mada. So over there, we said that the Chachamim allowed him to take the entire tchum of where he is. If he stops in the middle of a city or in the middle of a Mada. That was a machlokas Rav Gamliel. But we're going all along, I'll leave it at Rav Gamliel. The Kamahavi ben Yeter the Kesher. Now you explained to me the distance between the two ends of the Kesher. You didn't tell me how much space there is between a line that is drawn from the Yeter, which is the string that holds the arrow, all the way to the top of the Keshet, meaning to the Batim on the Keshet. How much distance can there be from there to there? Because this may be a very sharp angle, the city, so maybe it's like 40 miles between the middle point of the Yeter and the top of the Keshet, which is a little bit strange that we would allow that to be considered all one city.
Can maybe illustrate?
Illustrate?
I know what the Keshet is. I'm trying to see what we're measuring.
This is the bow and arrow right here.
Is that exactly what they mean?
Yeah, this is the imaginary line is the string in the bow.
The city built a valley, right?
Yeah.
You got a hill.
A lot of cities are built like this. It doesn't have to. So the question is, how far can there be from this line, this imaginary line, which is holding the imaginary arrow, to here, to the bottom of the Keshet? So how long would the arrow have to be to fit in the Keshet to get to the Yeter?
What's the maximum?
Very military mind.
What's the maximum?
Yeah, no, it's going to be beyond the Tchum Shabbat itself. And here's where Abba's Svar really comes into play. Because the point over here is, normally, of course, we would be makbid on your ability to reach this point from within the city if you had started off from the city on Shabbat in order for it to be considered part of the city for Shabbat. But as Abba has pointed out, being as we've already decided that the two sides of the Keshet itself are within 4,000 amot of each other, then technically speaking, even if your house was in midtown at the top of the Keshet, right at the arrow top, you could always get to anywhere you wanted simply by walking down through the city, coming along the sides of the Keshet, and then cutting across in the middle. So therefore, who cares about the Tchum Shabbat since I can anyway get there by Heter? And that's the tzad to say that we don't really care how long the Keshet is.
The open space
could be as long as you want since you could get to it anywhere as long as you have a way to access it on Shabbat, because you can always cut around, as you pointed out, cut around the bottom. Yeah, and therefore it's not Nogiyat. It's all considered to be accessible and therefore within one city.
Even if going that
possibly. Way. I mean, this we're going to find right now.
So it's the width that's more important than the height.
Right. That's what it would mean. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna says, look, it's got to be within the Tchum Shabbat. If you would have set out from the Keshet, you would have been able to make it. Rabba Bar Rav Huna Amar, Whereas his son Rava says, no, afilu yeter me'alpayim amot, can be even longer than 2,000 amot. And Abaya points out that the son's got it over here. Kavoti deRava b'reider Rava baravuna is more mistaver. Because the Iboy, if a person wants access to any place in the parkland in the middle, Hadarati Derech Batim, he can always go through the city and then cut across. So he has no problem even if the Tchum Shabbat would have been from the Kesher. So what's the point of making that Tchum Shabbat? Therefore, let's close the whole thing up and make it one sealed city and then start from the outside. Right. Hayusham gedudiyot kivahot asarat tvachim. The next thing we had in the Mishnah was that if you had broken walls of what was once a town, but now it's a ghost town, you can include a ghost town as long as there's still, it still has to be suitable for ghosts to live in, but even though there's no people living there, that would be fine. My gedudiyot, how well built. I mean, you want to know what really are living standards for ghosts. So my gedudiyot, I'm reviewed at shalosh mechitzot. You need three walls to be a self-respecting ghost, and it doesn't matter if you've got a roof. That's something that's not important. It'll float up anyway. So therefore, she'en aleihem tikra would also be considered to be still a valuable mechitza in terms of city's extension. Iboilu, how about shtei mechitzot v'yesh aleihem tikra? How about the other way around? How about if one of the mechitzot is on top, two of the mechitzot to the side? How about then? Tashma, elu shemitzabrimima. The following types of things are included also in the ibur of the city. Nefesh sheyesh ba arba amot. If a ghost has four amot, no, one second. Nefesh in this case does not mean the ghost. A nefesh means a little building on a kever.
On a
kever, where, you know, you go and you light the candles and so on. So over there, if it has arba amot in it, and then there's usually a person that stays around as a shomer. So if it's got arba amot al arba amot, there's always a minimum space for something to be considered a home. The hagesher v'akever, or if you have a bridge, where you have a bet akvarot, sheyesh ben bet dira, where they have a little place for a shomer to stay, or even a bet akneset, sheyesh ba bet dira. Of course, a regular shul wouldn't count, because it's not made for diurin, unless there's a place over there for the shamish. Sometimes they have a little room for the shamish to stay in. Or, for that matter, even a church is fine. I mean, a bet avodat kohanim, as long as it also has a bet dira for the priest.
Deacon's house.
Yeah. So the deacon's house is also the equivalent, lahavdil, of a bet akneset with a bet dira lechazan. And so in all of these cases, and even for that matter, urvot, you've got barns for horses over there, va'ot srot shebesadot, as long as there is a cowboy out there, v'yishmen beit dira, there's got to be somebody living there. And a burgenim, shebetocha, if you've got a sada that has a burgenim, which is a bite for the shomer, and if you've got an offshore drilling platform, you've got a bite shebeyam, in all of these cases, harei elumit abrimim, as long as it's within 70 amot of the city, so then the area in the yam is also an extension of the city. Ve'elu she'emit abrimim. Now what's important for us is this piece. What is not included? A nefesh nifritza mishtei ruchotea elech ve'elech. If you had that little kippah over the kever where the wall had broken down on two sides, or if you've got a bridge, or if you've got a bet akvarot that has no dira in it, or a bet akneset without a place for a shamash, or a church without a deacon's house, or urvot v'otzrot shebesadot, or you've got now a stable, or other types of storage barns, which doesn't have a bet dira, or a bor, or a shiach, or a ma'ara, some type of area that's dug out, a geder, or a shovach, if you've got an area that is set aside for birds to live in, shebetocha, or you have a bayit shebasvina, which doesn't have it's not a permanent mooring, so it's a house. These cases are not included. So what's not included? A nefesh that has a break in two walls. That's what you were asking. You asked, how about if there's only two walls and a ceiling? So I assume the case over here is a nefesh with two walls that's left. Two walls are broken. So katanimi is nefesh and vitzami shtei ruchotei alech ve'elech. I assume that the ceiling is still standing. My love, dika tikra. So come on, how do you know the ceiling's standing? Maybe that's the case over here is dileka tikra. I was asking, what the point is, what the din is of a bayit with a tikra with two sides. You can't prove to me that it's not included from here. But what are offshore drilling platforms good for anyway? Bayit shebeyam lamaya chazni. Boy, things have changed, haven't they? Amar Rav Papa, what you do with a city in the with a house in the yam is it's basically meant for offshore unloading of storage containers. That's what it's for. So bayit shasu lefanot bo kelim shebasvina, that extends the city out in that direction. Of course, this could be extremely relevant to the land as well, because if you got like a harbor that's in a cove or an inlet, so now the city is extended all the way along that side as a square, even though that intersects the land and may give you a tremendous amount of to walk on Shabbat. Now, just as an aside, I noticed you mentioned that a mahara, if you've got a cave, it's not included. Doesn't Reb Chiya say in a bright life, anyway, Reb Chiya, me'ara mit'aberet ima, that a cave is a perfectly usable house, and therefore it would be included, so what's that mean? Rabbi, no, a cave that's included is ki, shiyesh binyan al-piya, that's where there's a building at the opening to the cave. Typically, mishum binyan gufis, and what do we need the ma'ara for? So why not say that the building counts on its own? No, la'tzricha la'ashlim. And Rashi learns la'ashlim means that you don't have 4x4 amot in the building itself, but now that you have a building, the building, now the Ma'ara extends the building further. Down it becomes a house as you put a nice front on the cave. I mean, I'm going to call a nice habit house a cave. I mean, it's disgusting. So in that case, it's considered to be a house because it has that front part, now extends backwards. Totus learns the meaning over here is that the entire cave now is included to be that house, in which case, let's say it's a 10-mile long cave. So now the tomb would begin from there. It's a tremendous amount of meaning. That's a tziruf now for the cave. Okay, that would be the difference. Omrevuna, yoshvei tzirifim, ein modedin lehem ela mipetach batei. Somebody who lives in an impermanent dwelling. It's not funny. That's become a very big problem in the Yishuvim, is this Gemara. Because the question is how we're magdir tzrifim. Some are magdir tzrifim as being tent-like temporary things that don't have any chibur to the ground and so on. Okay, so then I mean, it wouldn't be such a problem to have a caravan because it's a mechubar and it's built of standard materials. But other than that, the main problem of tzrifim is that it's not built in the tzura of a city with batim and chatzirot.
Yeah.
Now that could create a lot of problems. That could mean you would have a 100-mile city made of caravans or modern-type housing, where we don't have any concept of bayit v'chatzer. And you'd have to count the tchum from the doorway of your home, and you wouldn't even be able to get out of the city, maybe. It's not an ear. What connects, what interrelates these places?
When they put up an arrow around
them? Yeah, fine. We could do that. Another question is, what would create the end of the city of Gabi tchum? Well, however, I mean, it's really a five-way machlokes what defines a tzrif. But whatever a tzrif is, it does not count as a group to start giving a tchum to the end. And remember, all along, there's an interesting idea, especially Rava's extension of the concept of the city, that's all like Arba Amot, even in terms of Huvei, Ruvoba, Makom Echad. It didn't really have mechitzas around it. The idea over here, remember, is the completely different set of standards that we have for defining place in terms of tchum and place in terms of mechitzot of Shabbat, the Gabikarium. It's important to always keep that in mind. So all along, we were being a little bit vague about what we mean about a city. What is a city? If it's not a walled city, how many houses is a city? So there needs to be a definition. We're beginning now this definition. So if it's tzrifim, then your tchum begins at your door. You walk 2,000 amot. You walk 2,000 amot and you're still in the middle of tzrifim. And that's the Beit HaKholim, you know. Tzrifim. It was called tzrifim because it was originally called tzrifim. Don't they call it still today? Tzrifim. It's spelled with a tzadik? I thought it was spelled with a tzadik. No. Oh, okay. So it was originally tzrifim. So over there, you couldn't walk necessarily even the whole thing. Mostly Riftis seems to have an ironclad problem over here. It's a perish or possible, but that's not true. This is Vayachanola Yademi Beit HaYishimot. It says that the machane in the midbar was Beit HaYishimot ad avela shitim barvot mo'ar. That now is the first clear-cut contemporary reference points that are being given for how long the Machane Yisrael was. So the Machane Yisrael extended all the way from Beit HaYishimot to Avel HaShitim. And Rabbi Bar Bar Chana went and measured it. And he said, L'didi chazi v'yahu hadra, I measured that area. Bavitlata parse al tlata parse. It was 3 parsaot by 3 parsaot, which is 12 kilometers by 12 kilometers. It's a square of 12 kilometers. Now the problem is...
That's the Machane Yisrael, right?
Now that's Machane Yisrael. Now, those are tzrifim. Okay, now Tanya Kishen Nifnim, the problem was, if you needed to go to the bathroom, you couldn't go to the bathroom in the Machane because the Aron was there, and you needed Vahya Machane HaKadosh and so on, you'd have to leave the Machane. Now, as long as they were eating man, and they didn't need to go to the bathroom, everything was fine. However, as they complained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, you want to be human? Exactly. Eat, go to the bathroom, and then figure out, you got to walk 12 kilometers to get to the bathroom, which is why this is called Avel HaShitim. Actually, yes, it's a very interesting one, because that was Avelot. Achenk Adam Timutun, the Gemara says is similar. Is this Nikodim?
Is that Nikodim?
What?
Balpor.
No, Balpor is a different Nikodim.
It wasn't right there.
No. So Mul is a Mul Beit Por, but this isn't Beit Por. So now, in order to get to a bathroom, of course, you have to figure out where the Aron was headed, because that's all you need was to walk 12 kilometers, and suddenly, oh my gosh!
They're coming!
What do? So you can't go forward.
They're coming, I'm going.
You can't go forward, and you can't go to the side, because you don't know which way which way is the arm going to be moving? I mean, it's leading, right? So what you can do is you can go backwards where the machne just was, because they never went backwards because the arm had to pull everybody around. There was no reverse. So therefore, the one thing you could do was go where the machne had already been. No, it's a din in Yamakanaka Kadosh. You can't have a bathroom in the machne. You need to be at the Dalazenecha.
Why can't we
much of
them go beyond
the Yamakanaka? Because what if it comes? Then you'll be going to the bathroom in the machne in front of the urn. So now, what that means is, I assume that people continue to go to the bathroom on Shabbat. But in order to go to the bathroom on Shabbat, you have to walk out of the tchum. Mm-hmm. And that's a big problem. Unless the entire machane is arba hamot, because it's
like...
Why
are you saying that you have to go to the middle?
Because if you lived on the end, if you lived on the front end of the machane, you'd have to go all the way to the back side. So that means you can walk 12 kilometers on Shabbat plus, which is certainly outside of the tchum from the front door of your tent. So obviously we were including the entire machane as a city, but you said Tzrifim is not a city. Now how are you going to explain that? Amale Rava, come on, you can't ask from the Diglei Midbar. The Diglei Midbar are city par excellence. Kiva dechtibo api Hashem yachanu. The api Hashem yisau. So this is defined from above. Man, this is written in stone. So these may look to you like tents. But this is permanence because it's api Hashem. So it's kiman dechvielu dam. This is a permanent city.
What a perfect name for
a new
yeshiva.
A Diglei Midbar. That would be nice. Yeah. Omer of Chinuda, Bar of Kahana, Omer of Ashi, Im Yesham, Shalosh Hatzeirot, Shoshnipati, Hukbu. If you, oh, this is what it's going to be like here. God has. So if you have a binyan that is not a tzrif, a binyan that's kavua, in terms of chotzer and batim, so three chotzerot with two batim, now there's a city here. The city can now include these other things around it within Shivim Amot. But you need to have the core of a city. Om Rav Yudah Merav, now that we're on the topic, I just want to tell you that Yoshvei Tzrifim Volchein Midbarot, people who are like Bedouins, or people who are gypsies, Chayeim Enam Chayeim, that's not a life. Nisheim Uvneim Enat Shalehem, they think their wives, their kids are their kids, nonsense. Because it's all one big happy family. You might as well be living in a grave. Yeah, being washed by the rain, being boiled by the sun. No air conditioning. Come on, man, that's not a life. The albinote hemu omer, if you take one of their women, it's like arur shochev im kol behima. That's human. My taima. Now Rashi learns my taima is going back to the statement of why are their women and children not their own? But others learn there's two separate issues over here. It's a given that women and children are not their own, because they're always moving around, and any such type of so-called society is too much intimacy to be able to ever have any sense of private, it's privately yours. But what we're asking is why would we say that's like Arush HaChev and Kobeimah? But Rashi learns that we're explaining why we would say, of course we're talking all along here of Jewish people, you know, nonetheless we're saying it's Arush HaChev and Kobeimah. So my time. Aaron didn't have air conditioning. He lived in tents that were kavua in his tent, other than the fact that he was on a mission. It's a Bedouin lifestyle. Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's referring to the actual way in which people just throw things together. I mean, yeah, you feel that way when you drive by. That's why I always hated the idea of Bedouin tents being used as have an Avram Avinu experience. You know, they do that. You know, here's the Bedouin tent, and they have this guy dressed up as Avram Avinu, as if like, you know, as if, I mean, it's not a Bedouin tent. Obviously, the whole point of it there was the Sea Elohim. It's not a Bedouin tent.
The Bible says this passage says from Avram Avinu
came Latushim,
Rashi says Latushim, 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 Latushim.
Get to it.
Rashi and
Latushim
are the first people who were
Bedouin. Right, there we go. So it couldn't have been Avram. Brilliant.
Rashi from
Rashi
Chumash says his great grandchildren, they were the first
Bedouins, basically. Yeah. Caravan drivers.
That was his descendants. That right.
The B'nai Keturah are the forerunners of Bedouin.
Right.
So obviously Avram himself couldn't have been he couldn't have been the model.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Although they
obviously
came from him.
Yeah, new Mela, but I mean the lifestyle was a later development.
Rashi wrote, "Listen, the Tushan blush and the Tushan spread around like Bedouin."
Litusha. Okay. All right. So why would we say that they're, according to Rashi, why would we say that their children are not their own? So Ula says Elim Merchatzaot. That's a little bit strange. And I understand the children that they're people there are like animals. They borrow Shokhetim Kol Beima because they never take a shower. I mean, that would make sense. The way Rashi is learning it is since they don't have local bathhouses, so all of the men get together in the big city, drawn by the lights of the bathhouse in the big city, which leaves the women alone, which leaves the bad boy to go for the women. A little bit of a stretch. I mean, all the men go to the bathhouse at the same time. They have international bathhouse night. I mean, how exactly does this, you know, I mean. Yeah, so, and that's one reason. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shemar, Gishim Zel Zebetfila. Since in order to get to the mikveh, they're going to have to take friends with them because they're scared. I mean, it's the middle of the night. There's nothing around. So therefore, everybody knows. So since everybody knows, so can a man know. Because he hears what's going on. So then he goes and meets them down at the mikveh. Therefore, we end up having a lot of hanky-panky. My binayu, what's the difference between these two approaches? If the problem is that there's no merchatz, it's not going to help that you have a pond, a river rather, near your house, because the men aren't going to go to a river to wash. They're going to still be attracted by the bright lights of the whiskey in the bathhouse. But as far as the women are concerned, they'll go in the backyard to the Nahar. Why do they have to let anybody know that they're going to the mikvah? So that would be the difference. A city without veggies is no place for a serious person to be living in.
That means it grows them? Or that it
grows them. Grows them. Because if you've got to import your food, you're going to start paying Manhattan prices, and therefore Tom Kogan can't live there. Because you're going to have to work your head off just to keep up with your food requirements. Forget about keeping up with the Joneses. So how can you have a Tom Kogan living in that kind of environment? His whole life will be dedicated to the pursuit of his needs.
So, but build the city, not to be like that. Right? The idea is you have everything you need.
That's right. Lament. Listen, that's why people go out to Jersey into the wild to buy their things and then go back to Manhattan. You know, I heard they were starting to think of putting up border posts. So Lamemer the Yerik Ma'alya, are you trying to tell me that vegetables are good for you? Because this is saying that Talmid Chacham, if you shouldn't eat vegetables, that's terrible, no? I mean, doesn't it say Vatanya, Shlosha Marbinata Zevel, Vikofimata Kuma, Vinotina Khad Mihamesh Meod Mimori Nafshaladan? There are three things that really get your bowels full all the time. They bend you over in sort of worn out old age, and they take away 1/500th of your vision. And this is it. Pot kiver, that health bread stuff they sell. God help us. Vishikhar chadash, and fresh beer that hasn't had a chance to really settle in there. And yerek, it means vegetables are bad for you. Lokasha, habitumi vakarti, habashar yarki. Depends. If you're talking about garlic, I mean, garlic, as we know, cures all that ails you. And if you're talking about leeks, you wouldn't miss out a leek breakfast for nothing. So garlic for leeks, okay, that's already good for you. Whereas these are other, no, it's not roots, as we'll say. And these are other vegetables. Kidatanya, shum, yerek. A garlic, now that's a yerek for you. This is how Rashi learns. There's another person who said he was mekabel, which he can't. He just doesn't accept. But the way he was taught was the other way around. The bad vegetables are garlic and leeks. Because how could that be? If the Gemara says that shum is masbia and mashchin and matzil and misameach, it doesn't make any sense. So it can't be that a garlic is bad for you with all of that. Okay. Tiratanya, shum. Now that's a yerek. Krishin, that's a yerek. Okay, that's also almost a vegetable. Krishin is they say it's cress. I mean, but it seems to be a variety of leek as well in other places. Now, near at Snown, if you see a guy has Snown as radish on his table, near a Sam Chaim, now this guy is really, I mean, he's eating well. What? I'm telling you, near at Snown, near a Sam Amovis. That Snown is poison. Make up your mind. Lokasha, Baalina, Baamaho. It depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about the leaves, that's bad. If you're talking about the roots, as Barmea says, that's good. And now, here it is a question how to be Goris. Some of Goris are the Ebait Ema, or we could say, Kan bimotachama, the Kan bimotagishamim, in which Rashi learns means that the leaves alone, and it says on the Ebait Ema, he has all one thing, that even when we say that the leaves are good, we mean bimotachama. But the bimotagishamim, they cool you off. It's not called snowing for nothing, you don't want to get a chill. So now the Tosfos says, that doesn't make any sense because of Rebbe Vantaninus. So Rebbe Ivanta, I knew he was coming. I just needed to get into Tosafot first. So Rebbe and Antoninus, it says that they were considered to be the great Geim Vivitnev, because they always had tznon on the table. According to Rashi, no part of the tznon would be good, Bimot HaChama, or Bimot HaKishamim. The coincidence of separating Bimot HaChama from Bimot HaKishamim, in light of that Gemara, Ben Bimot HaChama, Ben Bimot, I mean, it's just ridiculous. You can't ignore that. So therefore, Tosfos learns that no, the Alin and the Amahot are both good, but at opposite times of the year. So therefore, Rebbe and Antoninus always had tznon. When it was good to eat the root, they had the root. When it was good to eat the amalot, they had the amalot, and so on. Okay? That's also, of course, there was another girsa Tosfos brings himself, that there are svarim that have the girsa, and that ikari amre, that over here, the amalot are always good, and the alim are sometimes good. Starting a new policy today, which is we're going to do a daf chazorah without stopping, right afterwards, so we can get it done in like 5 minutes. And we'll do, we'll review. Should we review today's stuff or review yesterday's stuff?
Maybe get
a sense of the whole daf as one. And it's a 5 minute procedure. Anybody who wants to leave, of course, is welcome to leave. This will be a bigger schuss for your mother.
Yeah.
Why?
Because people like me would like to be collecting so that I can do the Zohar.
Okay, it could be. I'll try. I did that once. It became very messy. Okay, let's go. Okay, we started with the two dots of daf nun ayom and daf tanur abonim. Kate said, "Ma'abrim et ha'ari aruka kamochi he agulav sin lazaviot murubaot eno sin lazaviot." What?
Back where we started.
הייתה רחבה מצד אחד הקצרה, מצד אחר רואים אותה כאילו היא שווה. היה בית אחד יוצא כמין פגום, או שני בתים יוצאים כמין שני פגומים, רואים אותם כאילו חוט בטוח עליהם, ומודד ממנו לעלן 2,000 אמה. הייתה עשויה כמין קשת או כמין גם, רואים אותה כאילו היא מלאה בתים וחצרות, ומודד ממנו לעלן 2,000 אמה. תומר מה? ארוכה כמו שפשיטה, לא צריך את עריך הקטינה, מה עוד אתם עליתם לפוטיה כאורכה, כמה שבלן? מרובעת אין עושים לזוויות, obviously, לא צריך את מרובעת בת, לא מרובעת בריבוע העולם. מה עוד אתם מרובעת בריבוע העולם, כמה שבלן? היה בית אחד יצא כמין פגום או שני בתים, אשת בית אחד אמרה, שני בתים מבית, לא צריך את משתי רוחות. מה עוד אתם מרוח אחת אמרה, משתי רוחות לא אמרה, כמה שבלן? הייתה עשויה כמין קשת או כמין גם, רואים אותה כאילו היא מלאה בתים וחצרות ומודד ממנה ולהלן 2,000 אמה, אומר רבונה, עיר עשויה כקשת, אם יש בין שני ראשיה פחות מ-4,000 אמה, מודדים לא מן היתר, ואם לא, מודדים לא מן הקשת. מיום רבונה אחי, גם רבונה חומת, העיר שנפצה ב-141 ושליש, אמר רבא ברור לבקשת, כאן ברוח אחת, כאן בשתי רוחות. ומי כמה שמלן, ונותנים כרפף לזו וכרפף לזו, אמר רבו נחל הזינות, בצנן, נותנים כרפף לעיר דברי רבי מאיר, וחכמים אומרים לו, אמרו, כרפף אלא בין שתי עיירות, ואיתמה רבו נאמר, כרפף לזו וכרפף לזו. חי הברף, אמר, נותנים לו כרפף אחת שניהן. Answers the Gemara three. The Ashminu Nachum Mishum Nagalek Sad Eter Mi Korah Fine. We make him. Aval Hatam Mimalo. On the other hand, the Ashminu Nachum, it's because there were always two cities, and therefore the Chikut Tashmishtayu. Aval Hach with the bulldozer, the Lord of Chikut Tashmishtayu, Mimalo. Therefore, Tzricha. And how much Kama Havi Ben Ayeter La Keshet? Rabbi Barvun Amar. Well, only Alpayim Amar. Rav, great Rav, Baravuna says, no, feel yet to my Alpay Mama. Om Rabbaya, in fact, that's reasonable. Kabati the Rav, great Rav, Baravuna, Mistabra. The boy, Adarati Derach Batim anyway. So who cares how far it is? Hayusham Gidudiyot Kivahot Asarat Vachim. My Gidudiyot, Om Rav Yehuda, you need at least Shalosh Bechitzot, even if Ein Aleihem Tikra. Iboilu, how about Shtei Mechitzot V'yesh Aleihem Tikra Mao? Tashma, Evu Shemitabrim Ima Nefesh Yesh Barabamot Al Arbamot. A Gesher, a Kever, which is a Beit HaKvarot, Sheyesh Ben Beit Dira, which of course by definition is 4x4 because it says Beit. Beit HaKnesset, Sheyesh Ba Beit Dira L'Chazan HaKnesset. Beit Avodat Kochavim, Sheyesh Ba Beit Dira L'Komarim. Urvot, Raot Sarot Shebesadot, Sheyesh Ben Beit Dira. והבורגנים שבתוך המינים בתוך השדה והבית שבים הרי אלו מתעברים ממה ואלו שאין מתעברים ממה נפש שנפרצה משתי רוחות אלף אלף הגשר והקבר שאין להם בית דירה ובית הכנסת שאין לה בית דירה לחזן הכנסת בית עבודת כוכבים שאין לה בית דירה לכומרים ואין לי ערובות ועצרות שבסדות שאין להם בית דירה אור הבור שיח ומערה אור הגדר ושובח שבתוכה והבית שבספינה none of these are מתעברים ממה now in the list of not מתעברים it says נפש שנפרצה משתי רוחותיה אלה ואלה I assumed היא כתקרה לא, לא לא כתקרה בית שבים למה יחז אומר פופו it's a בית שעשוי לפנות בו כלים שבספינה now you said מערה אין מתעברת אמה אתה אני רכי המערה איז מתעברת אמה אומר הבית שיש בניין על פיה so obviously, typically, when you shouldn't be young goofy, forget about the Mara. Let's see how I sleep. Omrevuna, your Schweizer theme, ein modedina melami petach batehen. Marty Rivkis that says, Vayachin, while I had a mibeta ishimo, dada vela shitim. How do you explain that? Vyomarabba barbarchana, vididi chosi, vayavuata, ben wistlata parsi, atata parsi. And we know the Tanya, Kishem Nifti Menis, you know Niftiim, Velo Tzidim Elachreyem, which means they'd have to walk 12 kilometers. Amalei Rova, Tidlei Midbar Kamre. Keva Dechtivu, Alpi Hashem Yachanu, Alpi Hashem Yisoo, Keman Dekevi Yalu Dami. Amre Chinanam Barav Kahano, Amre Vashi, if there is some kviyut, even Shalosh Chatzirot, with two batim in each one, that's a kviyut. אומר רבי יונה אומר רבי יושבית צריכים והולכים מתבוריות חייהן אינם חיים ונשאים ובני מנת שלהם תניין עמי אוכל יזר איש ביריה אומר יושבית צריכים כי יושבי כברים ועל בנותיהם הוא אומר אורור שוכב עם כל בהמה מי טיימה ולמה שאין להם מרחצאות רבי יוחנן אמר בגלל שמרגישים זה לזה בתפילה מי ביניו יגיע ביניו נהר ונסמך לביתה אומר רבי יונה, כל עיר שאין בה ירד, אין תלמיד חכם רשאי לדור בה. למימר, זה ירד מעליה, ועדיין יש שלוש שמרבים את הזבל, כופים את הקומה, ונעוטלין אחד מחומש מאה עצמי מאור עיניו של אדם ואלוהים, פת קיבר, שכר חדש וירד. נעלו קשה, בתומי וקרתי, הו בשאר ירדי, כדתן ישום, ירד. קרישן, חצי ירד. ניר עצנון, ניר עצנם חיים. תתן יניר עצנון, ניר עצנם המוות, לא קשה. כאן בעלים, כאן באמהות, כאן בימות החמה, כאן בימות הגשנקים.